In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All we who have been baptized, says the Apostle, into Christ, are baptized into his death. This time after Pentecost, after the mysteries of our Christian religion are, as it were, accomplished in the liturgical year, after our Lord has been born of the Virgin, lived and suffered among us, has been crucified, died, buried, and is risen, ascended into heaven, and has now sent the Holy Ghost among us, the Church, in this long period of Green Sundays, from now until the end of November, invites us to consider once more all the mysteries of our religion under what might be called the Pentecostal lens, to examine once more everything that we have celebrated throughout the liturgical year. That is why this time of year is filled with feasts that recall what we celebrated during the liturgical year. Corpus Christi, to recall Holy Thursday, the Precious Blood, the Holy Cross, to recall Good Friday, the Feast of Christ the King, to recall Palm Sunday, and so on. And there is one mystery above all which the Church invites us to consider at the beginning of this time after Pentecost, one which we might say has been foretold as vividly as the coming of our Savior himself by the prophets. Indeed, the prophecies of Christ are so intimately linked with the prophecies of this mystery that we might say that when Moses and the prophets were inspired to proclaim the coming of our Redeemer, it was as important to them to proclaim the coming of saving waters. And so they speak of these waters as vividly as they do of the very person of our Savior. For to foretell the coming of the Church and the sacraments is the same as to foretell the coming of Christ. For Christ and his Church are always one. From the opening words of divine revelation, we hear of the breath of God, the Spirit of the Lord hovering above the waters, from which shall come forth the first life. Waters shall be called forth once again to destroy that world of wickedness, and salvation shall come to a few through those waters of destruction. Once more, it is waters through which the chosen people of the Lord shall pass into their promised land. And during the long time of their exile and wandering, they shall be nourished with water coming forth from a rock, which St. Paul tells us is nothing else than the rock of Christ. Naaman the Syrian will be told by the prophet of his time that he can only be cleansed by plunging himself 7 times into the Jordan. As the time of the prophets draws closer to that of our Lord, we find the prophecies become even more specific. For we have what our Lord himself calls the sign of Jonah, Jonah who will be 3 days in the belly of the fish, 3 days as well in the water, before rising again. The greatest of the prophets, the prophet Isaiah, who speaks to us more clearly than any other of the person of our Lord, his birth from the Virgin, all the virtues that shall rest upon him, and his holy passion, tells us, "You shall draw forth waters with joy from the fonts of the Savior. All you who thirst, come to this water without price." Ezekiel tells us it is this saving water which flows forth from the temple, as we sing throughout Eastertide when we bless the people before Mass. "All those whom this water touches," he says, "are saved." Finally, the prophet Zachary tells us, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for the washing of the sinner." Yes, all this shall continue right up to the time of the very last prophet, the prophet John the Baptist, who begins his public ministry by baptizing. What St. Paul teaches us today about this first of the sacraments is that which St. Thomas Aquinas himself shall recall in his most profound teaching on all of the sacraments. For if we honor St. Thomas as the greatest of the doctors, it is because he does nothing more than expound what has already been revealed to us by God. We have the testimony of the fathers, and even the indication of the Holy Scriptures, that baptism by infusion, that is, by placing one's head over a font and having water poured upon your head, is something that has existed since the beginning. Nevertheless, we know from our Lord's baptism in the Jordan that the most ancient form of this sacramental sign has been full immersion in water. The descent into the water, which is what St. Paul has in mind today, and the subsequent rising out, has a threefold significance, which will be recalled by St. Thomas in his teaching. There is, as with all the sacraments, a thing that is already past, a thing which is not contained in the sacrament, but merely signified by it. That is the death and resurrection of Christ, signified by the going down and coming up from the waters. There is also a future thing which is not contained in the sacrament, but only signified by it. The end of this life for each one of us, the resurrection of the body, and eternal glory. But finally, there is a thing right here and now, as with all the sacraments, a thing which is not only signified, but also contained within this sacrament and caused by it. For every sacrament contains and confers the grace which it signifies. And so the thing here and now for all of us, contained and caused by this sacrament, is the death of sin and new life by grace. We do well, then, to reflect for a moment on the effects that baptism has on each one of our souls. This is what we are invited to do, especially on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost. If God permits, and we come together on the 11th Sunday, I will speak to you further about this sacrament, for on that Sunday, we are invited to preach especially on the ceremonies of baptism. Today, however, we speak more of the effects on each of our souls. First of all, we have, through this sacrament of death and resurrection, for when our Lord speaks of being born again, he means in the sense of dying first and then being born to new life. We have, first of all, the remission of all sin and the remission of all punishment due to sin. Even though, for all of us in the Christian life, baptism is only the beginning, all the effects of sin on our soul, the rebellion of our first father Adam, remain, so that our souls are still wounded. It is only a healing process that has begun with baptism. Nevertheless, all sin and all punishment due to it is washed away at the moment of our baptism. Next, we may say that baptism is the sacrament of regeneration and divine adoption. From the moment that we were baptized, God was no longer merely our Creator. He was henceforth also our Father. This is the great grace of baptism, which causes the Apostle St. John to cry out in praise of this love of God, which, through baptism, has allowed us to be called children of God. If, by baptism, we are made in the likeness of Christ in his death and resurrection, as the Apostle tells us today, so we are like him in all other things, although he is so perfectly, and we only by association. So just as the prophets foretold that upon the Messiah would rest all the gifts of the Holy Ghost and all the virtues, so too the virtues are infused into us at the moment of our baptism, even if we were baptized as tiny infants. And we are thereby incorporated with Christ our head. Baptism is the first time that we receive a mark on our souls which can never be effaced. A mark which is called in theology a character. Every character that we receive as Christians is some level of participation in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We know that our separated brethren have often liked to speak of what they call the priesthood of all believers, that in fact no priesthood is necessary because all we need is the eternal high priest, Jesus Christ, and therefore all who believe in Jesus Christ may be called priests. Like all heresies, what is proclaimed here is based on a truth of our faith, simply taken out of context and perverted. In responding to such a claim, we may say that indeed there is a priesthood of all believers. All those who are baptized, all those who receive that first character on their souls, participate in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. From that moment onward, we are able to receive all the other sacraments and take part in the liturgy, which is always done for God's glory and our sanctification. That is the lowest level of participation in the priesthood of Christ. That participation is deepened with the next character we receive in confirmation, but reaches its highest level for those few men called from among other men to receive the character and the sacrament of holy orders. Finally, we have the effect which is so beautifully illustrated by the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan. That was, in fact, the final type and final prophecy of baptism. For as he came up from the waters, the heavens were open, and the Spirit, in the form of a dove, descended. From that moment, the moment of our baptism, the heavens are open to us, and grace and the virtues descend upon us. Even though, as I said, that is only the beginning of our Christian life. For we know that when Christ came up from the waters of the Jordan, he did not then immediately ascend into heaven, but began his public life of suffering. And so we, his disciples. We understand then from all that has been foretold concerning baptism, all that has been so beautifully illustrated by our Lord and Savior himself, and then taught by his apostles, we understand why this sign, the most common of all signs, for water is to be found wherever there is life, we understand, I say, why our Lord has made this sacrament necessary for the salvation of all. Necessary by what the theologians call a necessity of means. For in this they employ simply the words of our Lord himself. When our Lord expounds to one of his first disciples, Nicodemus, the importance of being born again, and Nicodemus responds to him with a total lack of understanding, asking, how can any man be placed back into the womb again? How can a man be born when he is old? Hoping perhaps that our Lord would say simply that he is using a metaphor, our Lord responds quite differently, saying, no, I am not using a metaphor. I am not speaking metaphorically, but sacramentally. Amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And what were the final words of our Lord to his disciples before ascending into heaven, if not, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be condemned. It is this sacrament which we should prize so highly, and the day of our baptism certainly as much, if not far more, than the day of our earthly birth. For it is by this sacrament that each one of us is configured in the likeness of Christ, who suffered, died, and rose again. By this we are made like to him, for it is he who shall reform, as the apostle says, our bodies of corruption, making them like the body of his glory. For by the grace we have received through baptism throughout this life, we shall one day be made like him in all things and see him in the face and behold him in all glory forever and ever. Amen.